It is good to be with you in God's house. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be looking at a very special verse of Scripture. All this week I thought about what would I preach, what would God give to me to share with you today, and undoubtedly out of all the verses, all of the Scripture that I read, Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 is one that God settled my heart on, and I hope and pray that this message today is one that will give you hope and reassurance that God is great, that God is good, and that above all things, that God is in control. And the entitlement of today's message is Because I Am. Because I Am. We're going to look and see today how that God is the greatest God that has ever been. The one true God, as He says in His Word. I am God Almighty. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I'm in control of all things. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. Why? Because I am. You can have peace. You can have joy. You don't have to fear. Why? Because I am. All throughout the verses of the Word of God, continually we see this reference from God in the Old Testament through Christ in the New Testament as He says, I am. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have a copy with you, it'll be on the screen for you. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, Because I Am. He says it this way. He says, fear not. I want to say that again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You that You've given us this opportunity to come and to be here in Your house, to praise You, to honor You, to worship You, to fellowship here one with another. Lord, we know that today is a very special day, Lord, not unlike and unto any other, Lord, any other time that we would come to be in Your house, but Lord, it is more than just a regular Sunday for me. Lord, Father, I pray that today, that this Sunday be a message that reach out to the hearts of the people, Lord, and will help us to understand just how great and mighty and magnificent that You really are. To help us to remember and to understand that You are God Almighty, that You are God on the throne, that You are that God in control. Why? Because You are. You are the great I Am, Lord, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Lord, I pray, Father, that You help us to not only understand it, Lord, but to gain comfort from it. That, Lord, these words today, that we can read them and they not just be words, but, Father, Lord, that it could be a motto for our life, Lord, that it could be a standard upon which we base our lives in You. Lord, I pray today if there's somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin, somebody who's never been saved, that, Lord, today before it's everlasting too late, that they'll come to know You and be saved. Lord, I pray that likewise, if there's somebody here, Lord, who knows You as a Christian, they're a follower, a believer, but, Lord, their walk has been frayed. Lord, they're out of fellowship. Lord, they're just not living their life for You as they should be. Then, Lord, I pray that this message speak to their hearts, Lord, in such a manner that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would draw them nigh to rededicate their life, to live more faithfully for You. Lord, I pray that if there are others here, Lord, who just need to hear this message because they need strength, because they need to know that they do not have to be afraid, because they need to know that You are God, that You are on our side, then, Lord, Father, I just pray that this message speak to our hearts. Lord, that whatever we need here today, You become what we need. So, Father, Lord, I just pray that You use me in Your hands. Lord, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Lord, Father, I pray that You just give me the words this morning. We'll give You all the honor and the glory and the credit for it. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. So important there. The very first thing that we see in verse 10 is God speaking to His people, Jeremiah in particular, he says to them, he says, fear not, for I am with you. I don't know exactly how they came about with these numbers, but as I was reading studies about fear and how we fear things and what fear really is to us and how fear can be so crippling to some, one study basically revealed that only about 4% of the fears that we have in our lives will actually come true. Now, how they reach the point of saying that only 4% comes true, I really don't know. But that's what they say based upon the studies. So if that's anywhere near accurate, 96% of the fears that you face within your life are absolutely ridiculous. They're uncalled for because only 4% of the time are those things actually going to happen within your life. But fear impacts us all. I don't care who you are. I don't care how faithful you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't care how strong of an individual that you think that you are. We're going to face fears in our lives. Amen? I find things in my life all the time that I'm afraid of. I work in law enforcement, and I think people think sometimes that because I wear a gun belt and because I wear that vest that I have no fear. Let me tell you something. All the time when I go to work, I get into situations sometimes where I'm afraid. I'm really afraid. I'm fearful that something may not happen like I want it to happen, that something may go bad. It's just the reality. We're human beings. We have fears. We have angst about us. Anybody get anxious? I ask that a lot because I suffer so terribly sometimes from anxiety. It drives my wife absolutely crazy. She can't stand it because of the fears and the irrationalities that I have sometimes about things. And I get anxious. But here, God speaking to His people, He says, fear not. Be not dismayed. Why? Because twice He says in this verse, He says, I am. Fear not. For I am with you. The first thing that I want you to see out of this verse is this, is that we don't have to fear because of His presence. We don't have to fear anything because God is present with us. Do you believe that? I believe in the presence of God because I read in His Word and it says that He's present with me. I believe in the presence of God because I am a believer and I've accepted His Son Jesus into my heart and I feel His presence in my life. Is there anybody else that can honestly say that they feel the presence of God in their lives? I hope that you do. I hope that you know Christ and you can personally say, yes, I know the Lord and I feel His presence in my life. If you're here and you say that you're saved and you know Him and you have a relationship with Him, then I want to tell you something. As a believer, you should feel the presence of God. Christ told His disciples before He ascended into heaven, after He had given them a great commission, He says, lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the ends of the earth. I believe there's a twofold meaning to that. Everywhere, anywhere that you go, I am with you. But also, even unto the ends of the earth, to the end of time, I am with you. Interesting words to be said by a man who was soon to disappear into heaven. But He says, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. He says in the New Testament, He says, I'll never leave you. He says, I will never forsake you. Fear not, because He is present. Even when you can't feel God's presence. Even if you're here today and you say, yes, I know Him, but I haven't felt the presence of God in so long in my life. Even if you're in that situation. Even if you're at that point in your life where you say, I pray, but I don't hear anything. Even if you're at a point in your life where you say, I read the Word of God, but He doesn't speak or say anything to me. It doesn't mean that God isn't there. God still exists. He is still God. He's still in control. He is still ever present. 500 years almost that God's people never heard anything from God before the coming of Christ. There were no prophecies. There was no word from God. The longest stretch of silence that God had had. But He was still God. He still had a plan. He still sent His Son, Jesus. Fear not, because I am with you. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He says it this way. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am. If you look up the Hebrew translation of that phrase, I am who I am, it basically means this: I become who I may become. Maybe you don't catch that, or you don't understand the meaning of the purpose of it. I want to explain it to you. And I want you to understand why there's a significance of I am who I am, I become who I become. God is telling Moses, go tell your people, I am who I am, I become who I become, so that the people may know this: I become whoever and whatever you need. That is the God we serve. Whatever you need in life, that's what God becomes. Your greatest need, God can meet it. Amen? Your greatest need, your greatest wants in life, God can help to create that and to make it possible, because He is who He is, because He is the great I am. We don't fear because He's present. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, or verse 7 rather, says it this way. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says it this way. John, brother, if you could, thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I want to tell you why that's so significant. Why did He give us His spirit not of fear? Because He is God. He's already taken everything that we would ever have to be afraid of. God has already taken that for us. God, on the cross, through Christ, took all of our sin, He took all of our pain, He took all of our unrighteousness. We don't have to fear anymore. Do you know how many times in the Word of God He specifically says, do not fear? 365. 365 times in the Word of God it specifically says, do not fear. To me, I don't think it's ironic that it's 365 times, because that's about how many times in my life that I need to be reminded that I don't have to be afraid, about once every day. Why? Because God is present. Not only do we not have to be afraid because God is present, but the second thing that I want you to know out of Isaiah 41:10 is this, is we don't have to be dismayed because He is God. We don't have to be dismayed because He is God. Turn back there to Isaiah 41:10 for me. He says, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. If you look up the translation of that word, to be dismayed, literally it means to look around with anxiety. Has anybody ever been dismayed? Two of us. All right. Two of us this morning. One might say that I live every day, at least half the day, in a state of dismay sometimes, looking around in anxiety, not knowing what's going to happen. One translation says to look around in alarm. Do not be dismayed. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, for I am your God. I think it's important that He mentions that. I am your God. Who's God? Your God. He's my God. He's our God. He doesn't leave anybody out there. He says, I am your God. There is nobody in this place who can say today that that verse of Scripture right there, fear not, for I am with you, be not dismayed, for I am your God, there is nobody who can say that verse does not apply to me. It applies to you, it applies to me, it applies to all of us. Whether you know God in a personal relationship or not, we still don't have to fear, we still don't have to dismay, because He's still our God. Because He loved us so much that He sent His Son forth to die that we might go free. That's the love of God. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. We serve a God who says, I'm yours.
We serve a God who says, I love you so much I give my son for you. We serve a God who says, I love you so much that I desire to have a personal relationship with you. I don't know about you, but it humbles me. It humbles me sometimes beyond words that I serve a God who wants to have a relationship with me. I can't believe my wife wants to have a relationship with me, much less God. Not just any God, God who is perfect. We serve a perfect God. We serve a perfect God who has never done wrong. We serve a God who knows no sin. And He decides that He wants to know me. He says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. He says, don't be anxious. Don't be dismayed. Don't be alarmed, because I am your God. It humbles me to know that God loves me enough that He wants to have a relationship with me. And I want you to know that God loves you to the point in your life, wherever you're at. I want you to know that regardless of what you're doing, how you're living your life, how close or how far away, that God loves you and He's your God. But God wants to have a greater relationship with you. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 and 6 say it this way. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me. He says that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none other. Be not dismayed, because He is God. That God, who is the only one who's ever been, who's ever going to be, He's my God, and He's your God. The one who is in control of all things, the one who is perfect, the one who has never done any wrong, He is our God. Be not dismayed. Do not fear. Why? Because He is that I am. It says something else there in verse 10 of Isaiah 41. He gives us these two commandments. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And then He immediately follows into this next sentence and says, I will strengthen you. Church, God is our strength, and I encourage you to lean on Him. God is our strength. Lean on Him. I live in the 21st century. I know all the things that we lean on in society today. Some of us lean on addiction. Addiction to a lot of different things. Not just drugs, not just alcohol. Lots of folks struggle with addiction to a lot of different things. And that addiction takes hold and controls our lives. We let that try to be a filler. We try to make that our strength. We try to make that the thing in our life that makes us feel the best. And for you, it may be different from the person who sits next to you, but you know the things you lean on in your life to be your strength and to make you feel better. The thing that you go to comfort you, that you think can lift you up. I want to tell you something. If you're not leaning on God, you don't have much to lean on. Everything in your life that you're leaning on outside of God is going to fall short for you one day. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that everything that you trusted in, everything that you put your hope in, everything that you thought was going to see you through to the end was nothing but a waste. He said, I am your God. He says, don't fear, don't be dismayed, for I am the I am. He says, I will strengthen you.
He is our strength. But the key thing, church, is this. We have to make the decision to follow Him. God doesn't require anything of us that is so great in life that we can't fulfill it. Amen? It's what the Word of God tells us. He says, I'll never put anything on you that you cannot bear. It's what Paul shared with us through the Word of God. But the key thing is you've got to lean on God. There's all kinds of things in this life that you can't make it through without God. I can't make it through the day without God. And there's some people who are going through their lives and they're relying on self, they're relying on addiction, they rely on their spouse, they rely on other things in this life to try to get through. And they're not going to make it. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 says it this way. He said, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. We serve not just a God who is almighty, but we serve a God who is all powerful. The key word there, all powerful. The Bible says this about our adversary the devil. He says, our adversary the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whomever that he may devour. We have a mighty adversary. We have a very powerful adversary in the world. I believe that each and every one of us is probably plagued daily by our adversary, and we understand how powerful his control can be. But we serve a God who is all powerful. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases their strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See that word all? I love it when words like that are used because all is just what it means. All is all. I grew up in Rockcastle County. The education wasn't the best. But even I learned in English what that word all meant. All. There's nobody who's unincluded in that. Just like I said earlier, there's nobody in here who can say that God isn't your God. He is our God. There's nobody who can say that I can't do something through Christ. We can do something through Christ. We gain through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But you have to choose to lean on Him. Isaiah 41 verse 10, he says, I will strengthen you. But he continues on, he says, I will also help you. He says, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. He says, I will help you. God is not only our strength, but God is our help. But here's the thing. Just like we have to lean on Him to be our strength, if we want Him to be our help, we have to trust in Him. Is there anybody in here who has trust issues? Amen. All five of us. All five of us. This is a real healthy group of people I'm speaking to today. Emotionally stable. I like that. I'm real. I'll just speak real to you. I have trust issues. I don't trust everybody. That's what's kept me alive in law enforcement, not trusting everybody. You know, I mean, some people in life you just can't trust, amen? Some people you just can't trust. It's wise of us sometimes to realize and understand that not everybody can be trusted in this world. Sometimes those that we love the most, we find that we can't trust them. The people that we call mom or dad, the people that we call husband or wife, we may even find that we can't trust them. The people that we love the most, the people that we call brothers and sisters in Christ, we may find that we can't trust them. The people that we serve with, we may find that we can't trust them. Listen, we live in a world that's full of fallen sinners. I know I've been getting mixed responses, but is there anybody in here who is a sinner? About half of us. Amen. We're getting there. About half of us. For the half of us that raised our hands, you cannot be trusted. You can't be trusted. Why? Because you're a fallen sinner. You're a fallen sinner in need of a Savior. Sin causes us to do all kinds of things. You know, I think Paul explained it the best. Paul, this man who loved to preach, who was the man who brought the gospel unto the Gentile world that we might be saved today, that man, he said it like this. He says, the things that I want to do, he says, I find myself not doing. The things that I wish not to do, he says, I do them. That's the reality of sin in our lives. Sin brings us to the point where we do things where we don't want to do. We can't be trusted. So my message to you is this: if we cannot be trusted, then why do we so often want to rely on each other to be our greatest strength? I, as your pastor, might fail you someday. I don't want to. Just like Paul said, I don't ever want to fail you. I don't ever want to do wrong by you. But the things that I want to do, sometimes I don't do them. The things that I don't want to do, I do. I don't want to fail you. Your spouse will tell you, I love you and I don't want to fail you. But if you live long enough in this world, you cannot be trusted. He is our help. But we have to trust in Him. The one person, the one entity in this world that we ought to trust the most. The one entity in this world that we can absolutely trust. In absolutism. The God who will never leave us or forsake us, the God who will never fail us, is so often the one we trust the least. Anybody believe me? He's so often the one we trust the least. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, he explains this. The psalmist talking about God and His help. He says to the choir master of the sons of Korah, he says, according to Alameth, the song, he says, God is our refuge and strength. This reoccurring theme, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Two things that we've already talked about here being mentioned in a totally separate verse of Scripture, that God is ever present, that He's there, that He is our help. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as it is swelling. Shalom, or amen. So be it. God is the God who is ever present, that we can trust no matter what. He is our rock, our refuge, our strength, our help. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Trust goes like this. We serve a God who sent His Son Jesus, whom none of us have ever seen. I haven't got to see Jesus yet, but because I believe in Him one day, I'll be in His presence. I believe it and know it with all of my heart. But I had to accept Christ into my heart having never seen Him. I never got to see Him on the cross. Never got to see Him shed His blood. I never got to see Him put in a tomb. I never got to see Him rise again. I never got to see Him walk that earth on that period of 40 days. I never got to be there when He ascended into heaven. I wasn't there when He came back and He spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus. But I know He's there because I feel His presence. Never seen Him, but I know. And that's called faith. The substance of things hoped for, but yet to be seen. The substance of things hoped for, but yet to be seen. I believe with all my heart, and I know with all of my heart, that God is God. That He can do all the things that He can do. And I trust in Him. He is my help. Trust in Him. The last thing that He says in Isaiah 41:10, we're going to close and close quickly, is this. He says, I'll give you strength. He says, I'll help you. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Hebrew translation of that word, to uphold, means to support. Like you would give support in holding something up. To uphold with my righteous right hand. But just like we have to lean on Him for His strength, just like we have to trust in Him for His help, if we want Him to uphold us, we have to believe. We have to believe. I believe, even though I've never seen Him, even though I didn't get to see Him rise from the tomb, I believe. And the key thing here is this. If you want Him to uphold you, you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. If you're here and you've never known Him, you got to believe. You want His strength, you got to lean on Him, but you got to believe. You want His help, you got to trust Him. But in order to trust Him, you've got to believe. You want that support, you've got to believe. And if you truly believe in your heart, He says, I'll uphold you and support you with my righteous right hand. There's something to be said by that. I'll support you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand, because the God that we serve, the God that we believe in, the great I Am, He is righteous. We're sinners. We're fallen. We're dirty in so many ways. But God, He is righteous. He is perfect. He is magnificent. Psalms 145, verses 13 and 14, He says, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all of His words, and kind in all of His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and rising up, and all who are bowed down. He upholds those who fall and rise up, those who are bowed down. It takes a believer. It takes a believer to bow down before God. I hope it does. I hope that you just don't willy-nilly bow to God. But I hope that when you bow to Him, you bow to Him because you believe in Him. And if you're here and you've never believed in Him, then right now, as we get ready to close out this service and our praise team comes, they're going to sing a song. And in most churches, we call that a time of invitation. And an invitation, just like I would send you an invitation to a party, is a time for you to respond. The message has been given, and now here's an opportunity for you to respond to whatever God is calling you to do. Maybe you're here and you have never known God through Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for you to come and believe. Believe in your heart that Christ is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead. That Christ came and He died on the cross to be our sin for us. And that He rose again. He's coming again. To confess with your mouth your sins, that you are a sinner. That you are fallen. And if you'll admit and believe that and confess it with your mouth, then you can be saved. And what does that mean? It means you can have His strength. It means that you can have His help. It means that He is your God. I'm asking you today, can you honestly, earnestly say, God is my God. I know Him. Maybe you're here and you know God. But maybe your life has been the farthest thing from the Christian walk that anyone could possibly be living. I want you to know this, that God is still your God and that God still loves you. But God is calling you to come and give your life back over to Him. The Christian walk is about living for Him. It's about serving Him. It's about doing those things in faith. Coming and being faithful to Him. Paul says, be a living sacrifice. I'm asking you, are you living your life as a living sacrifice for God? where you're sacrificing your life for something far less, you come. Maybe God is here and speaking on your heart. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Pray for something in your life, something in your family, something that you just need to pour out unto God. This altar is open to you, and you can come and you can pray. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to pressure you, and you can just lay it all out before God at the altar. I say this, whatever God is calling you to do today, as we sing, you come and be responsive. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. Don't be dismayed. Don't fear. Why? Because He is the I Am. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, I pray that people's hearts have been touched today, Lord, that people are ready to respond to Your Word, that people will be obedient, that they'll come forward. Lord, Father God, I just pray for the leadership of Thy Spirit as we get ready to close out this service. So, Lord, we give it all to You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.